There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Will and Divvy
on 95.7 The Game.
Ain't nothing but a gangster party. Ooh, fantasy football. It's getting hot. God.
I can't stand that. I don't like it when we go to commercial break and then somebody's like, oh, by the way, this guy that you had absolutely no concerns about and didn't know anything is probably going on IR. And now you have no players this weekend. I don't like that moment.
No. That moment sucks.
Michael Pittman's going on IR. I didn't even know he was dinged up. Why do I even have Michael Pittman is another question.
He's a good little player.
He's all right.
I like the player.
That's a great question.
I like him when Flacco is in. I don't like him when Anthony Richardson is in.
I don't want to make this about fade the Dibber, because I know it's you guys are all like, you know, you love to fade me in my picks. But
you're hot.
My fantasy team is good. My fantasy team is healthy and it's good, and I don't want to jinx that.
We got a weird thing going on, because you're good, I'm good, Steiny's good.
Steiny's really good.
Which means ain't none of us going to be in the Super Bowl. I don't like being good at week six. Last year, you know what happened.
You stunk.
I went into the playoffs by my shoestring laces.
Because something happened to Grandy.
Oh, God, it was like a game against Kruger, and somebody was a half point short, or something stupid happened.
Yep.
And I went into the playoffs like Eli Manning and won the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to be good week five.
I just want to make the playoffs, because traditionally, as a fantasy football owner, you should fade the Dibber, because I usually don't do great at fantasy. Yeah. But this year, my team is healthy. My team is deep. My team is good.
Wow.
You're not supposed to mess it up.
Yeah, you can. Well, you just ensured they're all getting hurt this weekend. All of them. Look at me. All of them.
I lost Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Whatever. I didn't even want to play him anyway. Whatever.
Rolando in Napa. Hey, Rolando.
Let's hear from him.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up? Big fan of the show.
Enjoying it. Nothing much. I want to give my two cents on this whole. So, according to some pundits out there in the Bay Area, Grant Cohn, that apparently Kyle Shanahan has already lost the locker room, and apparently they're going to clean house and clean going to fire him. So I just don't I don't like when people just that's what I think. Yeah, yeah. So apparently
don't listen
apparently
to him, Rolando. Don't listen to him.
Well,
don't let it get under
him,
your
the team. According to him, the team's gone to hell. They got no chance. They're going to fire Shanahan and Lynch, right. And they're going to clean house after, five games?
So, Rolando, just my advice to you, you can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. You lost me at according to him. End of story, Rolando. You do not need to let that stuff into your space. That, like, at a certain point, you know, this is to me, and Rolando, thank you. This is kind of like the whole, like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3, 4, 5, 6 billion times, well, shame on me.
Fool, like, me 3 times, F the P sign, load the chopper, let it rain on you, as Grandy full well knows. Shout out J. Cole. And that's where, you know, if you want to talk about Grant Cohn, I won't say that he's an idiot, because he's actually quite brilliant at doing what he does. But what he does is troll everybody who thinks that the points that he's making are actual points based on anything other than him trying to get attention and clicks. Because if you think that Kyle Shanahan's on the hot seat, then you also think that Steve Kerr is probably a 3 or 4 game losing streak away from getting fired.
No, you're not wrong. I like the way you say that.
So
he's playing a very lucrative game.
Yes.
But if you follow, that's what you're a pawn in. You're a pawn in a game and lining someone's pockets, and you can be free and call this a sourced report. Sources tell me you are free to ignore every single report that's made.
Yeah.
It's all BS, all the time, every time. And yes, to a degree, it's working. If that's what you want to be involved in, if that's how you want to build your career, and you don't care about facts and reputation and industry, all of those things, if you don't care about any of that stuff, the names of everyone else that you sully, if you don't care about that stuff, you're free to do it. There's a lot of it going on in society right now. It even is happening in the middle of our presidential election. And then if you, now I'm talking to the rest of you, if you want to be a pawn in the game, go right ahead. It's free world. You get to click on whatever the hell you want.
You do.
And you get to watch whatever you want.
Now, this is not to say that Kyle Shanahan is beyond reproach, because I don't think that Kyle Shanahan has had a great year.
No,
and when you're 2-3, you cannot look at Kyle Shanahan and say, well, he's had a fantastic year coaching. You've got a special teams unit that has been shaky and shoddy at best. You've had a red zone offense that has gone from the best in football to the third worst in football. And you've got a lot of questions about your game management and your overall success rate here through 5 games. So this is not to excuse Kyle Shanahan, but to go from a struggling team to, well, he might, you know, you lose Thursday and I don't know.
No, those are excellent points. No, it's not been a good year for Kyle Shanahan. I don't know that it's been a good year for anyone. Like, maybe Fred Warner?
Yeah.
But he probably wouldn't say that either. You're like, no, we're 2-3.
Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, I guess. But he's a team guy too. Like, right. He wouldn't even speak after his 179-yard game. But like, no, he's not beyond reproach, but he's beyond the hot seat right now.
Of course.
That's ridiculous.
Like, Robert Saleh lost his job at 2-3 because I think he was 20-36 in his first 3+ years with no playoff bursts and an owner who is not a very good owner and a GM who didn't have his back and a quarterback who, whatever you believe, certainly wasn't there to fight for him. And you look at Shanahan at 2-3. Well, they've made the NFC Championship game 3 of the last 4. And he has a winning record, and he has an extension, and a GM who loves him, and an owner who can't wait to give him more years and more money. So, miss me with the hot seat talk.
Let's go to Dave in Fresno. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Oh, man, you guys set me up beautifully. You must have knew I was about to call, man, because...
Felt it.
It drives me kind of crazy, man. Like, to hear you guys, I listened this morning, and you hear fans calling in, you know, with their frustration with Shanahan. It's like, Shanahan is like, he's like, it's like your guys' kid. Like, you can't talk about Shanahan. Don't talk about him. He's been to so many Super Bowls and NFC Championships. Like, he's the first coach in NFL history to have been to a Super Bowl and won the NFC Championship and not have his job questioned. He is like the football guy. Don't you dare look at him. Yeah, you know, where do you want to go back to Tom Sula and Chip Kelly? Like, when there's smoke, there's fire. There's enough people to come in with frustration, and nobody's saying fire him today. I'm not saying that, but accountability needs to be had more of, and it starts with him. You know why I say that? Because this guy, the head coach, he's the one that's asked for full control of this team. He has. You know why I know why I say that? Because he said no to Tom Brady, because that's him giving up control. He has full control of the roster, of the draft picks, personnel, who gets signed. And this owner has given everything he can ask for. You want Debo resigned? Here you go. You want the highest paid fullback? Here you go. You want Jimmy instead of Tom? Okay. If you want, Kyle, that's whatever you want. You want Kittle resigned? You want Trent resigned? You want Ayuk resigned? You want this guy? He's gotten everything he wants. So now stuff hits the fan. And that he's had full control over it, you can't question him. Like,
nobody's saying that. So, Dave, can I offer this to you?
Yeah,
can I offer this to you? I think what happens here is a macro-micro conversation. And people get it kind of twisted and confused. I think if anybody wants to question the micro, if you want to get mad at this thing that happened in the game on Sunday, or this aspect of Kyle Shanahan that's reared its ugly head, you know, the blown leads in the fourth quarter kind of a thing, when that's reared its ugly head twice in the last 3 weeks. I think you'll find everybody here and most people out there very open to that. I think that those are fair conversations. What happens too often, though, is that when people are assessing stuff in football or any sport for that matter, when we talk about those frustrations, we immediately take it to job status. And I even saw somebody who's supposedly higher up, not higher up, but one of the bigger new media voices of the 49ers suggested that if they don't make the playoffs this year, he would advocate the firing of Kyle Shanahan. That's taking micro to macro. Because Dave, don't you admit that in the grand scheme of Kyle Shanahan, there's been a whole lot of impressive and success? No?
Yes, yes. But let me ask you this, and I'll leave y'all with this.
Yeah.
Let me make two quick points. Look at the last three draft classes, okay? Not much to show for it. And people are like, oh, we look old. There's not a lot of new juice. And I know there's early success, and we've hit on draft picks, but lately it's been a lot of miss. Who could you hang your hat on now besides Brock? And I know Brock's a big piece. And Cooney. It's you know, like, look, hold on, wait a second. And then this, and to your point, it's to what end? So let's say he's on year 8. Well, year 9, year 10, year 11. At what point do you say, you know what, it's ran its course?
But we're not there yet, Dave. And Dave, thank you very much. We got a boogie. We're not there yet. We don't need to worry about year 10 yet. We're here now, and nobody with their head screwed on straight wants a different coach than they have. There's nobody out there that you want more so than Kyle. That's the macro. The micro, you want to blow leads and have a bad special teams? Yeah, let's talk about it. It's not been a great year for Kyle. I'm totally comfortable with that.
I look at Kyle as a bank account where he still has money in the account. Now, the account has been depleted a little bit over the last 5 games, but you look at the balance, and there still is enough in the balance to where you're going to keep that account. You're not going to cash out the account and just take the money and run. There's still a balance in the account. Now, year 9, 10, and 11, if we get through those years and you don't see anything that is appreciably better roster-wise, results-wise, we can talk about it then. But right now, what he's done and where they are, you definitely keep the money in the account.
I'll also add this real quick, because he talks about the last three drafts. I don't know how you can assess this draft yet. It's way too early to say whether all these guys hits, misses, Dominic Pooney, Malik Mustafa. I don't know yet fully. These aren't fully baked pieces. And then outside of that, have they been great drafts the last 2 years before that? While I'd agree with the answer no, I'd also tell you, if you offered any NFL team, hey, we're going to give you 3 drafts, the only thing you're going to get out of it is a franchise QB, and you get nothing else, they'd all take it. They'd all take it. Every single one of them. It's that important. We're sponsored by Safeway, 888-957-9570. Greg Cosell, the czar of the film, joins us next on Willard and Dibs.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, you ready?
You know I'm ready.
Oh, we love it.
I got notes. I got questions.
Do you know what the thing is, though? As Greg Cosell joins us on the River Islands guest line, we've told him this, that we sort of like... The conversation with him is how we officially shake free of whatever happened last week.
Yep.
And then get ready for next week. Problem is next week's 24 hours away.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
You're right.
Football-wise.
Yeah, you're right.
You got a game, and I shouldn't have said 24. 26 hours, you got a football game.
I'm not ready. I still have questions about what happened last Sunday.
Well, then let's do it with our guy, senior executive producer, NFL Films. He's the best. He's Greg Cosell. Hi, Greg. How you doing?
Guys, how are you?
We are great, except for obviously the football team we cover is, not in the best spot right now after 5 weeks. Wanted to start out by asking you about Brock Purdy. Big topic of discussion here this week is how much he's scrambling. And clearly holding on to the ball longer than he has in the past. When you look at the tape, is there an obvious reason for that?
Well, it's funny you say that, because that was one of my final note. I take really detailed notes when I watch these games on tape. So I made the point that the 49ers pass game overall did not have its normal rhythm and timing. Too many plays in which Purdy left the pocket and made the play improvisational and random. I can't tell you what's in his head, but even though he does move well, that's not really the 49ers offense. It's not built, let's say, like the Chiefs offense, where you almost expect Mahomes to leave the pocket and make plays. That's not the 49ers offense. Purdy can do it, obviously. He's done it. But that's not their game. That's not what the way they in which they want to play. So, yeah, this game, he moved too much. I can't tell you why, because I don't know what's in his head. But that can't be the case.
By play design, are you seeing more offensive passing plays that are slower developing, deeper, longer routes than what the 49ers would normally do with more quick screens and quick throws in the past?
Not necessarily. I mean, I thought they started the game out well because they went against tendency earlier in the game and they worked outside the numbers, and Purdy made some big-time throws outside the numbers. I thought that was, you know, really impressive. Normally, we think of them as throwing the ball inside. That's really the foundation of what they do. But I would say what stood out through the first couple of possessions was Purdy throwing outside the numbers from the far hash. I mean, Ayuk's 53-yarder to start the second possession came on a far hash deep sideline throw. That was phenomenal by Purdy. If you were sitting here watching the coaching tape with me and I froze it just as Purdy started to separate his hands, you'd be amazed at where Ayuk was. He wasn't even close to coming out of his break. He wasn't even close to getting into his break, much less coming out of it. So they did that a couple of times on the first couple of possessions. It worked really effectively. But as the game progressed, for whatever reason, he did not feel like he had throws to make. Sometimes quarterbacks have games. Don't forget, there's 17 of them. Nobody's great every week. Like I said, I don't know what's in his head, but sometimes quarterbacks have games where they just don't see it as clearly as they normally do, and maybe that was the case this week.
Greg, did I just hear you invite us over to watch film with you?
I was using that as an example, you know?
Oh, darn. Okay. All right, because I was like, I'll make some time for that.
I was Googling flight plans. Yeah. I was going to show up.
Hey, what about this? Brian Baldinger was on our station yesterday and was asked what the identity of the team is based on what he sees on film. And he said what I thought was probably a cuss word to the Niners. He said slow. They look slow. Does that jive with what you're seeing?
Was he speaking about the team as a whole or one particular side of the ball?
No, pretty much the team as a whole.
I mean, I don't think. Well, let's put it this way. I don't know if they were ever built on being fast, because they've never, you know, even last year when they got to the Super Bowl, when you look at their receiving core, they don't have the one guy who's a burner, let's say. You know, obviously McCaffrey brings a whole different element when he's healthy, and I think that makes them look totally different. And I think Mason's played extremely well, and I think we all like the way in which he runs, but McCaffrey just brings a different dimension, and I think he makes their offense look different. But I don't think their offense is built on speed. Now, I can't speak for Baldy. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know if he thinks they're slow below the standard by which you can play effective offense, but I don't think, to me, that's not necessarily true. But they're not one of the faster teams in the league, there's no question.
When you look at the lack of McCaffrey, and I'm thinking about the red zone, 1 of 6 in
the
red area.
That was an issue.
What are they doing differently without McCaffrey, or what are you seeing on tape that is the shortcoming of this offense once they get in the red area?
Well, in this game, there were a number of things, and this is where McCaffrey certainly is a factor, because there's normally when these things happen, there's not just one reason, as you guys know. I would say it resulted from an inability to run the ball in the low red zone, meaning 10 yards and in. There were snaps in which there was less than stout pass protection at times. Purdy at times, I thought, broke down in the pocket a little too soon, which, as we already discussed, he kind of did in this game. And I thought there were examples where there was strong coverage by the Cards, and he didn't have the timing and rhythm throw that he anticipated having. So there was one play in particular that came with 16 seconds remaining in the first half when Kittle broke wide open on a stick nod, but Purdy felt inside pressure. We can debate whether there was truly pressure. Only he could tell you what he felt. I wasn't sure there was truly pressure, and normally he stands there and delivers, but that would have been an easy touchdown because Kittle broke wide open. So there's multiple reasons, but this week was very problematic in the red zone, and that was a big factor in why they lost.
Executive producer all over the film, NFL Films, Greg Cosell, joining us here as he does every Wednesday on Willard and Dibbs. Greg, as I'm sure you're aware, always a big topic of conversation, especially after Niner losses, is Kyle Shanahan's play calling. And in this particular game, and with the way Jordan Mason's throwing, there have been a lot of questions about the run-pass split, especially with the way you start the game. We look at the Cardinals, not a great run defense. Kyle comes out and throws the ball 8 of his first 9 times. In your experience of watching games that he's called, do you see anything different this year? Does it look like he's being more aggressive in the pass game than in the past?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't do play calling because I know what I do, and I know a ton of coaches, and in order to have any meaningful discussion of play calling, you'd have to be in the meeting rooms starting on Monday. It's easy to look at plays after the fact. They also, I can tell you this, the Cardinals' corners aren't very good either. So how do you, I don't know where you want to go with that conversation. They're not very good either. So, you know, it's, we can debate that forever. Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Two points. You know that games often come down to isolated individual plays, correct?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay, obviously they didn't have a place kicker, so they couldn't go up by a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Secondly, on 3rd and 5 on the final drive, the play before 4th and 5 where Murray hit Harrison for 14 yards. On that play, the play right before on 3rd and 5, Campbell knocked down a Murray pass, okay? It happened to hit his hand. If that ball did not hit his hand, if it went 6 inches one way or the other, Fred Warner was right there. He would have intercepted that and scored a touchdown, and we would be having a totally different conversation about the game.
No doubt. And, you know, it was a blitz on that play, and Campbell came in.
Oh, they blitzed on 3rd and 4th down.
They did.
On both those plays, yeah. They were aggressive with pressure. And they didn't blitz a lot in the game, but they were aggressive with pressure on that 3rd down and that 4th down. So, you know, obviously, and again, Mason fumbled as well in the red zone. So, you know, there's always factors. I think you have to be realistic in evaluating. Look, there's only 17 games, and we know that you win or you lose. We get that. I'm a process guy, so I don't look at it as because they lost, that means they stink or they've got major problems.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't, oh, when they win, oh my God, they're on their way to the Super Bowl, and we don't need to have another discussion. You know, I look at it as the process of how they play.
So when you say, for instance, hey, the Cardinals' corners aren't very good either, that maybe that leads to a fair question when you say, oh, they lose, that doesn't mean that they have big problems. Look at the 49er personnel for us. Do the 49ers have big problems?
Well, let me ask you this. Did you think they had big problems last year?
No, but are they the same team this year?
Well, they're missing the best back in the league, and as much as we all like Mason, and he's done a phenomenal job, he doesn't give you the same thing that McCaffrey does, and that kind of back just changes everything about a team. So that's a big, big loss. So, yes, they're not the same there. Essentially, the offensive line is exactly the same with the exception of Pooney, who won the job at right guard. So, offensively, it's the same people. Defensively, they've had some changes because they lost some people, but they've also replaced some people. Hufanga, who actually made a really poor play on the Murray 50-yard touchdown, he got hurt, obviously, and they're now playing the rookie. And when you play a rookie who's strength is probably playing downhill, but played predominantly on the back end because Brown is better when he plays closer to the line of scrimmage. Now that's something they have to work through. So, yeah, there are always some changes to be made in a given season. Absolutely. But they didn't go from being a really good team a year ago, getting into the Super Bowl, almost winning, to suddenly a team that's no good.
Before we pivot to Seattle, I want to ask you about that 50-yard touchdown run again, because many fans are pointing the finger at Nick Bosa, and I have been trying to tell him, Greg, that his responsibility on that play is to go for the running back. What did you see not only from Hufanga, but also from Campbell and the lack of containment on that big 50-yard touchdown run?
Well, you know what? I'm going to pull that play up while we're talking.
Please do.
Yeah.
And this way, we'll look at it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to pull this play up. A number of different times, and it's zone read, and you see Bosa crash immediately toward Connor, and Murray pulls it, and he's got, you know, after 5 yards, he's already pointing to the heavens because he's virtually untouched.
Well, it's not zone read. It's not a zone read. It's a quarterback sweep, and the nature of the defensive front took Bosa. Bosa was going to be out of the play based on where he's lined up. Because he's lined up, they've got two tight ends to that side, and he's lined up basically inside the tight end that's closest to the formation. So Bosa's not really a relevant player on this play. He's not going to make the play. So when you look at this play, someone, and it's not Bosa, is responsible for the outside. Now, because it's a closed formation to that side of the field, you've got Ward out there. And someone's got to, you know, play, set the edge, so to speak, but it's not Bosa. So someone has got to play the outside. My guess is it's probably Campbell, but I don't know that for a fact. And there's no reason for Hufanga. He's not responsible for the zone read. I mean, for the handoff inside, if they hand it off inside, and he's flying up inside there, taking himself totally out of the play. He's a post safety. You know, it's not his play. So, you know, he's the one who made probably the major mistake on this play. But it was actually the perfect play call against the defensive front they lined up in.
Good stuff. Greg Cosell joining us here. Hey, let's go over to Brandon Ayuk because there's been so much talk about him. He had obviously his best output of the year by far. Did you see anything different with the way he was playing and getting open, or was it just kind of circumstantial?
I think it's circumstantial. They threw him the ball. I don't think he's any different than he's been or will be. I mean, we've spoken about him numerous times. They threw him the ball, so he has big numbers. I'm sure they'll continue to throw him the ball. And, you know, like I said last week, but this offense isn't built on getting one guy the ball. So their offense, you know, some like Samuel had a big game a couple of weeks ago. This week he didn't. That doesn't mean that there's something wrong with Deebo Samuel. That's not the way their offense is built.
And this week, as we start to think about a short week, and tomorrow they're going to Seattle to take on a Mike McDonald team, and he was the defensive coordinator in Baltimore last year who gave the Niners all kinds of fits on
Christmas
night.
Actually, he didn't. Mm-hmm. That game, they marched up and down the field in the first half. They went through that defense without a problem at all.
No, five picks would tell me that they did something right, at least, to be able to get five picks from the 49ers.
I think it was three, was it not?
It was four off Brock, and then Sammy D came in and threw
a fifth. Yeah, we don't care about that.
Yeah.
other than the Kyle Hamilton pick, which was the one in the red zone,
yeah,
which
bad
was a
read.
Very poor read by Purdy, which I know he admitted, but the tape told you that. The others were fluky plays. But in the first half, they marched up and down the field, both passing and running. So McDonald's defense in the first half didn't give the 49ers any problem at all.
Greg, can we dive a little deeper into your comment that it's fluky plays? Because there's even been a discussion in Brock's tipped pass interception, the first of the two interceptions against Arizona. In general, a tipped ball by the defensive line, is that on the quarterback or is it,
well,
right? Is it fluky?
Let me ask you a question. How many tipped balls do you think Purdy's had this year?
Not a lot. I'll take the under on six.
He's had three.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes has had five. Should we be discussing whether he's a big problem?
Aaron Rodgers has had five. Will you call my dad? Because my dad's texting me at the end of the game, we need a quarterback who's taller. And I'm like, come on. One ball. He had one ball tipped in this game.
Well, he had two, but that's okay. So he had two this week and three for the whole season.
The whole season.
That's not a problem for Brock Purdy. Those are odd plays. They're not, you know, normal play. I mean, how many times, let's see, I can tell you how many times he's dropped back this year, and then we can look at what that really means, which, to be honest with you, is nothing. But let's see. So Brock Purdy this year has dropped back, I'm going to tell you in a sec, and then, you know, Brock Purdy has dropped back 185 times this year and has had three tipped balls. So it's not really a conversation.
It's about 2%, Greg, based on my rudimentary
math. I don't really think that's a conversation.
Yeah, nor do I. And I just was thinking about Baltimore last year and the fact that I think they had two tip ball interceptions, one at the line, one which was further down the field. Yeah, and
those are fluky plays. I mean, sometimes, don't forget, when you're a timing rhythm passing team, okay, keep this in mind. You could almost argue that it's amazing that there aren't more tip balls and that Purdy's great at it. Because when you're a timing rhythm passing team and the ball comes out quick and you're not taking deep drops, you're closer to the line of scrimmage, and a lot of defensive linemen know that they're not going to get to the quarterback. So what they do is they try to tip the ball because they're not going to get to the quarterback. So you could almost argue that it's phenomenal that he's only had three tip balls.
It's true, but I wonder about the Seattle personnel and whether or not they can replicate what Baltimore did, which was, you know, bring the corners down and take away the middle of the field and make things tough on an offense that likes to go over the middle of the field.
Well, that's what every defense tries to do. I mean, I remember last year against Cleveland. Cleveland played a ton of what we call robber coverage to try to take away the interior, you know, between the numbers. Every team knows what the 49ers offense is. There's not mysteries in the NFL, guys, just so you understand. Teams don't win or lose because they trick the other team. There's no mysteries. Coaches coach against coaches. They know what they're going to do. And the Seahawks this week, Woolen, I think, has already been declared out. So they're going to be short at the corner position. So, you know, they may feel they can attack the corner position, especially if they go three wide, because Witherspoon, you know, comes inside. So now who's going to play outside with Brown at the corner position if Woolen can't go? So they may feel, hey, we can attack them on the perimeter, you know, so we'll see how it goes.
What do you think of the abilities and performance so far of the Seahawks defense? Outside of the Lions offense, they've not really played a who's who of opposing quarterbacks. So what do you think of that?
And they struggled last week against the Giants, both in run defense and in pass defense. Daniel Jones had a really, really good game against them last week. The Giant pass game was efficient. It was timing-based. The ball came out. They had trouble stopping it. And the run game was really good. So, you know, I think, look, Mike McDonald is a great defensive coach, but you also are limited to some degree with the personnel you put out there. This is a team that plays a lot of nickel. Last week against the Giants, they played a ton of nickel, even when the Giants were in base personnel. So we'll see, you know, what they do. They play at times with three safeties, big nickel, as we call it. But this is not a great defense in terms of personnel.
So if you're the Niners going up against that sort of a scheme, I know that they run a 3-4, and they probably won't have Nwosu, the outside linebacker.
He's
going to be out with the thigh. And so if you're Kyle Shanahan and you're thinking about what plays work against that, a big nickel and a 3-4 front, is that more of a run-heavy scheme?
You know, look, every game, and there's no way any of us can know this because we're not in the building, in the meetings, but the Niners are relatively the same, and when I say that, you know, if Kyle Shanahan was listening, of course he'd say, well, we do different things against different defenses. Of course they do. Everybody does to some extent, but they don't step outside of who they are. So now it comes down to what is the balance between run pass, what are the tweaks that they're going to have from their foundational stuff because of the team they're playing against, but you're not going to see a totally different offense. I mean, this is what they do. They do kind of relatively the same thing every week, and they've been pretty good at it. So, you know, they may feel like they did this week, that they could come out and attack the Cards in the pass game because the Cards' corners are not very good and the Cards can't rush the quarterback at all. So, you know, that probably factored in to coming out and throwing the football. So we'll see what their plan is this week, but they'll probably feel that they can throw it as well.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us every single Wednesday here on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, we found it interesting yesterday, Greg, that Nick Sorensen was asked about all the missed tackles in the second half and said he didn't see it as an issue. Sometimes these guys are a little overly aggressive, but they coach them that way. Did you see it differently? Did you see the missed tackles as being a big issue in that game?
I got to tell you, I didn't really take note of it, so I probably didn't. I think missed tackles are one of those categories that, you know, some different people look at it differently, you know, as what a missed tackle is. I mean, I can't. Is there any play in particular that
James Conner? James Conner in the second half kind of went from about, you know, 1.8 a carry to up over six.
Right.
And it felt like there were a number of times where someone had their hands on him in the backfield, and then it turned into an 8-yard gain. I get that he's a very good back.
Yeah, there were a couple of runs where it looked like he was stopped just because of the front wall. But I know some of the plays you're talking about, but I didn't view that as missed tackles, other than, as opposed to him then finding some room, because he's obviously a physical runner. You know, he's not a guy that goes down with arm tackles. So if you're referring to arms reaching for him when he's running inside, I don't view those as missed tackles in a strict sense, because he's, you know, he's running in confined space, and when guys reach out arms, you know, to me that's not a missed tackle.
Yeah, especially when you're dealing with 230 pounds. When I look
at
them,
he's a strong physical back.
What are you seeing though in general from the Niners front seven against the run? Is it a personnel not getting it done? Is it a fit? What do you see when you see the Niners giving up big gains in the second half?
Well, I thought they gave up sustaining gains, not big gains, and there's a difference.
Yep.
So, I mean, obviously they'll view it as something that has to get better, but it's not like they're being gashed. I mean, obviously when they started that final drive and they ran Connor the first four plays and they got two first downs, I think there was a 6-yard run, a 7-yard run, an 8-yard run. That's too much. I'm not saying that's okay, but they weren't being gashed. It was a tough runner who was, you know, grinding his way and getting tough yards, hard-earned yards. Now, as I said, you don't want to give that up, but it's not as if he was running through gaping holes. I viewed those runs as more of Connor being who Connor is than the 49er defense being poor.
Already looking forward to next week, Greg, because we're going to be looking back on Thursday Night Football.
It'll be a good game.
And then breaking down Patrick Mahomes, who's coming in.
I know,
in
we got the Chiefs next week. Is that game in Santa Clara?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, that should be... I just hope the weather's good. I hate watching games in bad weather.
Yeah, bring your sunscreen, Greg.
The weather will be fine, and you know how the Niners own the Chiefs.
Well, that's going to be a big game, win or lose. I mean, obviously, they need to win tomorrow night, but that's a big game regardless.
Yes, indeed. Greg, great stuff, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, guys. Love talking with you every week.
Thanks, Greg.
There it is. That's Greg Cosell. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. I thought in that conversation that you got served.
How many times? I mean, five times?
Not
six
five,
times?
Not six. Not seven.
I mean, I probably did a couple times, too. I thought we got served.
You know, you think you do your homework, you think you know ball, and then Greg Cosell stops you. Tackle for loss, Greg Cosell.
No, but that's why we have him on.
Love him.
That's why we have him on.
I got to go watch the game again.
We're representative of multiple groups of people. Like, yes, we watch a lot of ball.
Not enough.
I'm not a king X's and O's guy because I'm also a fan.
Right.
Right.
But I'm a wannabe X's and O's guy. Not anymore.
Okay, I got a question about how a Niner fan feels coming out of that conversation.
I know how I feel.
Plus, 888-957-9570. Let's get back to that roster. Have we expected too much? 888-957-9570. And then Ron Rivera joins us in a half hour. But we take your calls next on Willard and Dibs.
You know, it was a blitz on that play, and Campbell came in.
They blitzed on third and fourth down on both those plays. Yeah, they were aggressive with pressure.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Remember, talk about aggressive with pressure.
Remember when you said it was a zone read? He's like, it's not a zone read. It's not. It's not a zone read.
Wasn't a zone read. It was a read option.
It was a read option. I knew. I was trying to, like, mouth it to you. I'm like, read option.
After the fact.
It's a read option.
And then in part of his answer, he's like, yeah, in the zone read. I'm like, wait, what did you just say to me?
Oh, my God. Can I read some of these?
This
is fantastic. The Comcast business text line was a riot throughout that entire interview.
Your boy got bottled up.
I saw all of them. It was hysterical.
It's a rough interview for your boy, Dibs. Third person.
Can I read some of these?
Every time I'd ask a question, I'd look at Grandy, and he would do his slow head shake, like, Dibs, you got to be better.
Man. Okay. 925. This whole interview is just nothing to see here. This team is amazing no matter what. LOL, okay? 262. LOL, Cosell is the one guy that pushes back on the Dibber. What a mensch.
Man.
Let me, let's see, 925. Tip passes aren't fluky. They're called tip drills. Let's see.
And I think that there have been more than three this year, but
Three Dibs. There were three, and it wasn't a zone read.
I was not in position to push back on Greg's numbers.
925, bro, really talking to y'all like you don't know football at all.
Turns out I don't know ball.
415, LOL, this guy makes Willard seem objective about the Niners.
That's funny.
650, Cosell seems a little cranky today. Still great insight. Hang on. 707, quite a contentious call with Cosell today. I think you guys need a hug after that. Way to earn that paycheck. Let's see. 562, love the battle, Dib Money. You put up a good fight. You did.
I wasn't trying to fight. I was just trying to offer up my thoughts and opinions on a play, but I couldn't even get the question out before he would jump the route. It felt like he knew where I was going every time. It's almost like he was primed on the questions.
925, I feel like when Cosell hung up, he said, "Jeez, those schmucks don't know crap."
I felt a little bit like Joe Biden in the first debate this year.
925, these interviews with Greg have a Jack Hanna, Dave Letterman feel. Amazing. Let's see.
Wow.
Oh, this will make you feel good, though. 925, one guy, don't make you guys wrong.
Yeah.
See, here I was thinking that guy does. He does.
I don't even know what he was saying that was going to refute what we had to offer. Although you did go off topic a little bit asking about play calling, and he put you in your place. I don't do play calling. I'm not in the meeting on Monday.
That's not my fault. Like,
well, he's supposed to be in the meeting on Monday?
Well, no, but the I didn't even ask him about an opinion. I said, is it different than what you've seen in the past? And I get what his response is, which is actually something I feel like it's a tree I've tried to take a whack at a time or two, which is we walk out of a game and go, that was the play call. And I'm like, no, that's what happened.
You don't know the play call.
I don't know the play call.
Were you in the meeting on Monday?
I don't. I wasn't.
Because Greg wasn't.
But if Brock's running around in circles, I feel like some people are like, man, Shanahan called the Brock run around in circles play again.
Exactly.
No, he didn't call that. But the defense was here, there, or whatever. It didn't play out that way. And I think that's what Greg's getting at. But I was talking more just about dropping back versus handing the ball off. I don't think you need to be in the meeting for that, do you?
You do.
I guess I'm a schmuck.
Well, you need to be in the meeting because you don't know, like, by design, what the plan is. And the fact that they came out and they threw it 8 of the first 9, does that mean that Shanahan's abandoning the run, or is he seeing something that he thinks he can exploit?
Okay, that's a great question.
No, I
loved his response. He goes, by the way, do you guys know they can't cover either? Which, by the way, two-pronged. I'm like, so maybe that's what Kyle was trying to attack. But then you go, all right, so Greg just said they can't stop the run and they can't stop the pass, and you scored 0 points in the second half.
Right.
Oof. Oof.
And I did kind of score some Cosell points with my question about the red zone. If I even got the question out.
He started emoting right away.
Because it is partly that they don't have Christian McCaffrey, mm-hmm. because you can't do a lot of different things. But he also pointed out what I've been saying all week about the low red zone inside the 10 and how they have not been able to run the football in the low red zone.
Absolutely. And Brock is probably taking off, a little bit too quickly. At times.
I'm trying to lick wounds by using phrases like low red zone now that Greg's gone. Yeah. I feel like I can maybe start to feel good about myself again.
You sound like him, which is making me scared of you.
When I try to talk to him like him and he interrupts me and rebukes me, it makes me feel less like me. let alone less like him. It's tough.
Oh, it's not tough. He's great.
I love him. It's so I really look forward to it.
The funniest thing ever is that the text line is like, oh my God, for a half hour, everyone's like, Greg hates you guys. And then he gets to the end and he literally goes, I love talking to you every week. I'm like, I bet, because we make you feel smart.
Totally. Oh, that was great. It's like when you think you're funny, as I do, and then you meet, like, for example, Robin Williams, and you try to run material, and they look at you like, dude, what is that?
Or Bill Burr. Well, nothing gets lost on you, pal.
That was a tough spot. But yeah, that's a good example. You try to be funny to people who are actually funny for a living, and it doesn't usually work.
Okay.
So you try to be a football smart guy to a guy who's an elite football smart guy.
But that's why we're bringing him on. We're getting to ask the questions. And you know what? If it's like, no, that's not what happened, I'm like, okay, good.
Then that wasn't zone read.
Then tell us what happened. That's why he's coming on.
Right.
You know? And by the way, even though you and I have footprints all over our face, hey, Niner fans, did you come out of that feeling better? Because I will give you what I thought was the overarching point. Greg thinks that what has happened to the 49ers is very circumstantial.
You can use the word.
They should be 4-1.
Well, the word is fluky, and it's a word he used. And he talked about a Mason fumble.
He was using that in terms of tip balls.
Right,
he was talking about Baltimore last year on Christmas.
Right, but I think if he mentioned the Mason fumble, if Mason doesn't fumble at the 8, we're having a different conversation. And we've actually had that very conversation.
He's talking about the Devondre Campbell tip ball that Fred Warner would have had a pick 6. So in other words, something good happened, but it would have been even better if that good thing hadn't happened.
I would say I'm going to go back and look at the film on that 3rd and 5 play, but I'm not looking at the film anymore.
That's it.
I'm done. No. I'm done looking at film.
But you're terrible at it. So
apparently. Yeah, they also blitzed on 3rd down. Yeah, Greg, if you would let me finish the question I was going to mention.
No.
That they also...
You got served.
I mean, I'm used to getting interrupted from you. Usually the guest doesn't do me like that.
That's incredible.
I did get served.
Well, I coached him. I called him yesterday. I said, listen, Dibs doesn't like to talk.
He gets 7 words and you jump in, Greg.
Yeah, he'll be much more comfortable if about halfway through his question, you just guess what you think the question's going to be and just start answering it. Because it's honestly, Dibs, it's his comfort zone.
He goes on too long, Dibs.
He doesn't like to talk. Did you feel a little, and maybe not, because as someone just wrote to us, it's one guy, it's one man's opinion, but then again, Greg's not really an opinion guy. So Greg would tell you, whether you want to believe this or not, he's like, I don't have any opinion, I'm telling you the facts.
Yeah, what he sees on tape.
I'm telling you what I look at, and what I look at is that the 49ers are pretty similar to what they were last year.
Yeah. And I was trying to get my Mike McDonald question in about how he, as the defensive coordinator of Baltimore last year, I thought he kind of had his way with the Niners, and no, he didn't. They moved up and down the field.
He's right. Greg,
they threw 5 interceptions.
Correct.
Two of them were tipped. 2 of them were bad throws, and then Darnold had the 5th.
He disagrees with you. He thinks one of them was a bad throw. And actually, it wasn't even a bad throw. It was a bad read. So in other words, he threw it right where he wanted to. It's kind of like when you read a putt as like, I think this is going to break 1 foot left or right. And then you putt it exactly where you mean to putt it, but it turns out it's the wrong read. It was a great putt, great execution, but Brock didn't see someone. So he threw it where he wanted to throw it, but it's a bad read.
It's a bad analogy is what that was.
I don't think so at all. Execution perfect, read off. So in other words, you shouldn't have tried to do what you tried to do, but you did what you tried to do, but it was conceptually the wrong thing to try.
In golf, there's no defense. So that's where the analogy misses me.
No,
and I encourage you and Greg to go back and look at the tape again from the Baltimore game.
You're refuting Greg Cosell's tape?
His take on the tape, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, call him back.
Dibs greater than NFL films.
He was a guy who last week admitted that he had to go back and watch the tape, and, you know, not all tip balls are the same. And when you throw a pass into coverage and it gets tipped, then that's the way that goes.
We got to go to the phones. I think everybody wants to talk about Greg Cosell versus Dibs and a little bit of Willard. That's what it looks like. Let's find out. But first, let's remind you that you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And if that doesn't work, just ask to get served by Greg Cosell.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.